Tonight. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and pray and get started. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord. This is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's get started on what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with a little introduction. To the class, it's a coach called the Coach of Honor. This will be my third year teaching this class, this same class. And so we have a little information. The first thing I want to do, I want to do an introduction, tell you about the Coach of Honor. The Coach of Honor is a challenge to those long-held approaches and core values one easily find in the historic and contemporary Christian church culture. It's different. Yeah, the Coach of Honor teaches us things like, we're teaching about grace. We tell you about we are unpunished. We tell you about we are free sons of God and those type of things. We tell you how we treat people who commit sin and things like that. So we're going to give you, there will be a lot of scriptures that we will cover, even though the book has some information, has some principles in it. But I come straight from the Bibles itself, so I'll give you scriptures. What I want you to do, some of your old values, some of your things that you used to have to be toned down, broken down, and rebuild up on. I know one of the things I noticed, I used to drive to Baton Rouge, and they was working on the highway. But they took everything. They took, before they could resurface the highway, they had to break up all that old stuff was on that highway and then replant it. So some of the stuff we have to break up in you so we can replant some new stuff in you. What I want you to do is turn your Bibles first to Matthew chapter 9. And we'll start from there. Looking at verse 16, Matthew chapter 9. Looking at verse 16, and I just made that statement. It says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to the, fill it up, take it from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottle perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And so what am I saying? I say some of us come in, we have our own preconceived ideas about ministry, about the body of Christ, the church. This, what we are here under is apostolic church, apostolic ministry. And basically what we're going to be teaching mostly is about the apostolic and the apostolic government. Even in the Coach of Honor, we're going to be teaching quite a bit about the apostolic government. We need to know about that. The body of Christ has not known that much about the apostolic government. So we're going to, everything that's related to the Coach of Honor from this class is going to be from the apostolic purview. Three terms I want you to get before, you may have heard them, but I want you to write them down, put them in your notes so that you can have it, so we can get started properly. I want you to write down apostle. I want you to write down apostleship. And I want you to write down apostolic. The apostle is the man himself who God has called and sent to operate in that position. Apostleship is the actual office that the apostle holds. And apostolic is the government itself. That's the type of government that we are under. It's called an apostolic government. So apostolic is the government. So those are three terms that we hear. And like I said, when we get into the fivefold ministry gifts, the graces, we don't talk about those gifts, but we have spent a lot of time on the apostles, giving you the duties that's executed by the apostle. We're going to give you duties expedited by the pastor, the evangelist, teacher, and the prophet. But mostly what you get is going to be duties executed by the apostle. Let's go back into my notes here. And the culture of honor represents an environment of freedom. It's an environment of freedom. So when we say freedom, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, which is freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So it is for freedom that Jesus set us free. It's why he came. One of the reasons he came, to set us free. One, to set us free from sin. And so it is for freedom that Jesus set us free. The principle of honor states, accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. I'm going to state that again because you're going to probably see it again. The principle of honor states, accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. And so we are teaching again about how the apostolic grace work, what effect does it have on you, and how you should treat that gift. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships because life flows through honor. See, how did I say that? He said, honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships because life flows through honor. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 1. Like I said, I make a statement, then I give you something to back it up. I give you a word of God. I give you scripture. Because one of the things that the word of God, I understand about the word of God, one of the things that Jesus stated, he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We can give you these principles, but if you don't see the word of God on it, then you may not receive it. But if you get the word of God on it, then the Holy Spirit can go in and help you see what we are saying as we teach these principles. And then the Holy Spirit is going to help you to understand it and give you a revelation of it. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 1, it says, children, this is a principle. Now, watch what it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may live long on the earth. And so honor, I've made the statement, honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationship because life flows through honor. When you accurately acknowledge who people are, you're recognizing their God-given identities and their roles. When you accurately acknowledge who people are, you're recognizing their God-given identities and rose. So when Jesus made the statement over in Matthew 10:41, when he says that, turn that scripture, Matthew 10:41, he said, he who receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So what we're doing, we can take that principle that Jesus was teaching here, and we can do the same thing. We can say the same thing as, you can put apostle in there. Say, he that receive apostle in the name of apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. He that receive a teacher in the name of a teacher shall receive a teacher's reward. So You take the principle, you take the scriptures, and you look at what Jesus is saying, and just don't look at it as what he's saying, but you can take these principles and you can apply them to other situations in your life. In the book Second Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, we look at that sometimes in this class, and one of the things that he, when he began to teach, we was talking about honoring the gifts God has given to us. And the Jehoshaphat had got a word from the prophet, and he came out and he began to teach his the people. And one of the things that he told the people, he said, "Believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established." He said, "Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And so that principle is again. And so when God puts a particular gift in our midst and we begin to receive him as that gift, and then whatever is on that gift's life, whatever anointing God has placed on that gift, then if we honor it properly, then he can impart those same gifts that he have on him into our lives. That's the way God set it up, and that's the way it works. So when he said that, he who receives a prophet, in fact, in each class I will give a meditation scripture in every class. That's one of the ways I determine how my people online are going back and studying their notes. They know, I always give a meditation scripture, so they have to recite it back to me. So this will be our meditation scripture for this particular class. We might as well get started now. And it's in Matthew 10:41. You can write it down. So when I give them to you, you go in, that's your place to meditate the scriptures that we give you. And again, I'm only a pointer. I only point you out to these particular passages of scripture. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is the one who's going to shed light on these scriptures. Yeah, that's why the Apostle Paul began to tell the people in Ephesus over in 1:17. And if you want him to reveal these scriptures to you, you begin to meditate the scripture over in Ephesians 1:17. Begin to read that. That he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what you're reading, what you're studying, what you're seeing as these instructors are teaching. You're not here just so you come, you're spending your time. Your time is valuable. So when you leave here, you want to know, you want to have a revealed knowledge of what the Word of God is saying. We're going to put the information out, but it's going to be up to you to receive the information. And not just from what I'm saying, but when we finish, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to. So you're going to grow in leaps and bounds if you just follow the instructions. My next point is names and titles are important. They define a person's role and identity, and when used correctly, establish God-designed relationships in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. So they are important. When we begin to talk about these different roles, these different names that God has given people, for instance, a culture of honor is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. And again, like I say, just think when I say these things, begin to think apostle. I'm going to be, like I say, I'm going to be expressing apostles, apostle. They are relationships that attracts and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. There are relationships that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. And so, again, we started the apostolic. God, one of the things, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And like I say, this is probably going to be a repetition, but I'm going to teach it. And you're going to begin to see some things. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're talking about apostolic government. In Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6. It says all these are just foundational scriptures. I want you to get them and have, so you can have a foundation of why we're doing what we're doing. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever." And the last part of that statement says, "And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we're talking about a government that God himself set up. And he said, it's going to be up on the shoulders of Jesus. I'm going to show you how you say, how do I come into this government, this apostolic government? I'm going to show you where you come into this government and this kingdom, how you are part of this kingdom, what God has set up. He says, "Of the increase of his government and peace." As we've studied the word of God, we find out that peace is where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And so he said, And not only that, he says that there should be no end. He said, "Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever." So this government is still going on. The one that the prophet Isaiah prophesied about, that the church has not known that much about at this time. God is restoring that government back into the body of Christ. So the things that God said in his word can begin to flow into the body of Christ. We're going to find out that this apostolic, the apostles, is what begin to open up heaven, find out what it is that heaven wants here on earth, and bring that to earth. We're going to find out that as God, when Jesus left, he left the government in the hands of the apostles so they can pass that on to the body of Christ. We're going to find out that God has put in those apostles, in those prophets, certain graces, certain gifts in the body of Christ, in them, so they can do certain things, and not just for themselves, so they can impart that to the body of Christ. We're going to begin to see those things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where you're going to fall into it. All this comes in this culture that we are setting up. In Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 19 through 22. It says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So it says that now it's bringing you into it. You're part of, you. If it's a citizenship, you're part of a kingdom that God is establishing in the earth realm. And it's called this kingdom is called the kingdom of God. When Jesus was here, he was telling about the kingdom was here. One of the things that he told his disciples over in Matthew chapter 6, he told them when you pray, he told them this. He said, "Father, you pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven." Matthew 6, 9 and through 11. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He said, "Hallowed be thy name," which is holy is thy name. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So what we are trying to do, our paradigm has been to try to go from earth to heaven. We all think about when we die, we're going to heaven. But God, when he set this kingdom up here on earth, his desire was to bring heaven to earth. And that's what Jesus began to teach about the kingdom being established here on the earth. And so what we're going to find out is as the apostles are following, doing his duties, executing his duties, what he's trying to do is find out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth. And he's going to try to bring that to earth. So he spent his time seeking God in prayer, in meditation so that heaven can come here on earth. And those things that Jesus did while he was here, then we can be able to do the exact same things. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 19, it says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." For a habitation of God. So it, as we learn, as we train, what happened? We come into the body of Christ as born again believers. We got accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we come in, but we never taught about this kingdom that we are in. And so then what happened? The kingdom does not seem to work for us. We pray prayers, and it seems like we don't get our prayers answered. When Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, when he was here on the earth, he supernatural things began to take place. He came, he said, Jesus in 1 John 3:8, he said, "I was manifested that I might destroy the works of the devil." And so when he said that, he was saying that when I came, if the enemy comes on you, if Satan come up on you, that work itself is going to be destroyed because I came. But then he also left it for us. In John 14, what did he say? He said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because why? I go to my Father." So he left that work for us to do. Are we actually doing the work that Jesus did when he was here on the earth? We should be doing the exact same work. When we walk up on sickness and disease, we're supposed to be just like Jesus. If you walked up on a person with a blind eye, he eliminated that blind eye. If you walked up on someone that was deaf, that deaf, they could hear after he passed by. Even if they was in need, if they was hungry, he fed them. If they was in lack, whatever he walked up on when he was here on earth. So in this culture, as we learn about this apostolic and apostolic government, then we're going to be able to do. What's happening now, the seeds are being planted. Yeah, some of us have heard it because we've been in it a while. But as we continue to hear and continue to hear, Jesus, when he began to teach the parable over in Mark and 4 and over in 26, one of the things that Jesus said is, he said, "The kingdom of God, as is a man should cast seed into the ground, and that seed should spring up and grow." And you say, "You sleep night and day." He said, "But you know not how." He said, "First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear." What he's saying is, it is a process. The seed is sown, but that seed have to open up, do its processes, and then begin to grow. So as we are being taught, as you grow into this thing, you're going to begin to see the full manifestation of those things that the kingdom of God has to offer. And so if you pay attention, open your spirits up, and allow the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to train you and teach you, and then you're going to be able to do those works that Jesus did when he was on, here on earth. Let's turn to another scripture here. And over while we're here in Ephesians chapter 3, as I told you, this is something God is reestablishing his government in the body of Christ at this time. You say, "Well, why at this time?" Well, it's God's timing. It's, you know, God has his own time in the way he do things. My wife and I was talking over the weekend. It was like when people used to, when they was in the Word of God, way back when, before Calvin and that group came along, when it came out, they started operating by faith. It was God's time when they put that, when the people got the word that they should live by faith. And so it was like when the Pentecost movement came in the early part of the century, and God said, "It's my time for the body of Christ to come back into the Pentecostal movement, like they did in the book of Acts and those things." So God said, "This is my time to do this now." So he's restoring his government back in the church now. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5. Yeah, and so just to just so we can cover some areas. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God said, now, what I'm doing now, I'm reestablishing the apostolic government in the body of Christ so we can begin to see, so those portals can be opened from heaven to earth so that we can begin to see the supernatural. We're going to hear about supernatural things in the body of Christ should be as common to us as breathing. And so if we're not seeing the supernatural, if we're not seeing signs and wonders, if we're not seeing miracles, then we're not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up. We need to learn to operate in this kingdom. And so we can begin to see those signs and we can begin to see those wonders operate in the body of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 while we're here, and we're going to cover these scriptures right now so we can finish it and go on to something else. It says here in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This was Jesus, talking about Jesus. When he ascended on high, he said he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So from eternity to eternity, Jesus have covered the area. That's why when he left, he said, it is finished. Everything that needed to be done for the kingdom has already been provided for us. And all we have to do is learn how to operate in this kingdom. He's taken care of it for us. And so now what he did, he built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus laid the foundation. He showed us how to operate in this kingdom. He gave it to the apostles. He left it in the apostles' hand, and they was to build upon it. But watch what it says here in the next couple of verses. And in verse 11, he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. That means for the maturing, for the saints can grow up in the things of the kingdom of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means for the building up of the body of Christ. So what he did, he put these graces, these gifts into these fivefold ministry gifts so they can impart to the body of Christ, so they can mature us, so we can grow up in the things of the kingdom of God. And so they're to teach us we're going to find out what the body of Christ has done. They've upside down the gifts. And so the gifts are not working properly. And 90 to 95% of the body of Christ is not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning. As we read on through this, watch what it says here. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the first three things that you want to see for these fivefold ministry gifts. These are names that God gave to these gifts: apostles, he gave pastors, he gave teachers, and he gave prophets and evangelists. He said, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we are supposed to be achieving to be. He says, so you, as we learn about Jesus and what he did while he was on the earth, I tell you what, let's go over and look at John while we're here, while we're thinking about it. The Holy Spirit brought it up, so we're going to go and look at it. Turn to John chapter 14. And And looking at verse 12, like I said, it came up, so we're gonna cover it. We're going to look at it. So we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so if it said that, then who was Christ? He said in verse John 14, 12, it said, verily, verily, John 14, 12, he said, verily, verily, truly, truly. He said it twice. So this is the truth. He said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, so we believed on him. We came into the kingdom by being believers. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead. And so that's how we came into the kingdom, by being believers, believing who Jesus was, believe the work that he did for us. So we believe on him. He said, believe. He said, truly, truly, he said this, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we're going to find out. We're going to see the works that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. So he's telling us, we are believers. We're in the kingdom. That's everybody who believes on Jesus. He said, the works that I do, shall you all do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. And what he was saying is, he said, what I used to do the works I did, I'm going to my Father, but I'm going to send him back. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to do the exact same works that I did while I was here on the earth. Amen. So we all come into the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. Let me go in and give you some more pointers here, more notes. It's the names and titles are important. They define a person's role and identity, and when used correctly, establish God-designed relationships in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. So God has given them specific names and specific role. Each name has a role and is designed by God to do a specific thing. For instance, we're going to find out that the apostles and the prophets is more concerned about what's going on in heaven so they can bring that to earth. We're going to find out that the evangelists and the teachers is concerned more about, and the pastors, more concerned about people and what is going on here on the earth. And so, that's why, again, we're not seeing those signs and wonders and those supernatural functionings that's going on, because we're doing man-made governments and we become our own gods. And since we become our own gods, the results that we're getting is because of we have not set God's government up correctly, and we're not doing it the way God said we should do. There are some graces, there are some mercy that he's given to us, but I'm talking about the way they did in the book of Acts. When they walked in the book of Acts, when those apostles, when the government was set up properly in the government, in the book of Acts, even Peter's shadow, Paul's shadow, would pass by people and people could get healed. And so, you know, Jesus Christ, over in Hebrews say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why we are not seeing those results? Because we are not doing it the way God. The government is not set up correctly. And since the government is not set up correctly, we're not getting those supernatural manifestations that we should be getting from what God said we get. A culture bond is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identity. Again, there are relationships that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. The names apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, and their distinct anointings, mindsets, and gifts create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priorities of heaven to earth. Bring the priorities of heaven to earth. Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so when we think about heaven, we think about the first thing that come out of mind is streets paved with gold. But we know there's no sickness and disease in heaven. We know that there's no lack and poverty in heaven. And so the same thing that should be happening in heaven should also be happening in earth. We're in the same kingdom. But there have to be a way that we can bring heaven to earth. So God has set it up so that we can do that. But he set his government up. He said of his government and the increase of his government, there should be no end. He said even forever. So that government should still be operating in the kingdom of God. Should in the church, in the body of Christ, that same government that the prophet Isaiah prophesied about should be going on in the body of Christ right now. So we should be seeing those same results. Turn to one other scripture here. These are foundational scriptures. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read, begin at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27. And like I say, you know, I keep bringing you back into it so you can know that this affects you. You're part of this. When you came into the kingdom, you became part of this. And so if I'm a part of this, then I need to know what's going on here. When you came into this natural system, you wanted to know so bad until most of you probably went to kindergarten, you went to elementary school, you went to junior high, you went to secondary. Some of you probably went on a little further. You wanted to specialize in things, and you went on to college. You were learning how to operate in this world system, but you had to be trained. You had to be taught how to operate in it. You didn't just come out here, if you specialize, if you're a nurse, you didn't just come out and just become a nurse because you wanted to be a nurse. You had to be trained in how to operate. Same thing in the spiritual realm, in this kingdom, the spiritual kingdom that God has set up. We have to learn how to operate in it. In order to learn how to operate, we have to be trained in how to operate in it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." That's the body of Christ. That's him. That's us. He said in the church, he said first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said after that, then miracles. Are we seeing miracles? One of the prophets asked, he said, where are all those miracles be? Where are the miracles that Jesus did while he was here on the earth? Why are we not seeing those miracles? But like I say, once the government is set up properly, you will begin to see those signs and those wonders and those miracles and those supernatural manifestations that God was talking about. He said, then gifts of healings, 75 or 80% of the body of Christ is sick. Say, how do you know that? I see them every day. They take on these diseases. Do they just take on these diseases? They own them diseases. They begin to say, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my heart disease. They own them. They take them on. But if we understand the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, and what Jesus said when he said over in Isaiah 54, he said he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. He said the chastisement, our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. That is a done deal. That's already taken care of. But because we have not been taught, we don't know that. And we won't take that for ourselves rather than taking the diseases. When man tell you something that, you know, even though it's a fact, it's not the truth, because Jesus have already told us what he did. He finished. He said, it is a finished work. Everything I did for you on the cross, I have taken care of those things for you. And since I've taken them on, taken care of them for you, then you should claim them for yourself. They should be yours. And so when the enemy come in, what did the word of God say? Jesus said himself, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Sickness and disease is the voice of a stranger to a person who's in the kingdom of God. It's a voice of a stranger, because if you listen to Jesus' voice, he've told you over in Isaiah 53 and 4, he said, he told you what he'd done for you. And so so if we're listening to him, then those are the things that we should be listening to and not the voice of a stranger. He says, back in 1 Corinthians, he says, miracles, then gifts of healings. Then he talk about the natural government, helps governments, diversity of tongues. And so he goes on to tell us what we should be doing after the government has been set up. And what the Apostle Paul here is teaching, he's talking about a flow. He's talking about what happens. He's talking about an apostolic government where the apostles, apostolic is here. God is pouring his power. He got a flow from heaven. And the apostles are finding out what heaven needs. And then in the book of Acts, over in chapter 2, it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And then they begin to see those signs, and they begin to see those wonders. And because they were right, it was operating in the kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning. But somewhere along the line, the body of Christ got away from it. And when it got away from it, then the enemy kept pressing and kept pressing. So we no longer see supernatural manifestations in the kingdom of God. A God who created the heavens and earth and gave us all. He told us, he said, be fruitful. He told us to multiply. He created us in his image, even though we know that Adam and Eve, Adam gave it up. But then Jesus came back and gave it back to us. He gave those things that they had in the Garden of Eden. Jesus himself came back and gave it to us. And so what was that? He said, be fruitful. He said, multiply. Genesis 1:26, say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. He said, and subdue it and have dominion. And so we are supposed to be dominating here in the earth realm. Why? Because we are created in God's image. And God said, I've given you power to rule on the earth. And that's what we should be done. Anybody of Christ. So we should be operating that way. And until we learn to operate that way, then as long as we're going to be operating on the wrong side of that scripture over in John 10:10, where it says, Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. We're going to be operating on this side instead of that abundant life side. So anytime that the enemy has come and put something on you and it's not the way the kingdom set it up, we're operating in the wrong side, wrong place in the kingdom. We're operating on the side that say he come to kill, steal, and destroy, and you're receiving that. Dr. Leroy Jr. was teaching a class here a couple of nights ago on a Wednesday night, and one of the things he said was, Satan comes, as a roaring lion. He didn't say he was a roaring lion, it was a Sunday. He said, as a roaring lion. That means that he said, we got the lion himself, the lion of the tribe of Judah on our side. And so, but since he come, and then what do he do? He deceive us, he tell us lies, and we take on that deception. And when we take on that deception, then he got us, on his side instead of in the kingdom of God's side. And so now this apostolic government, we're going to find out as we learn and we train. Even though we are not apostles and we are not prophets or we're not teachers, but remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:41. He said that he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We're going to find out in the book of Acts that was those table waiters. We find out that as they was waiting on those tables, but they went out and they began to do just like the apostles. Why? Because the apostles had imparted those gifts that they had in them, even though they were not apostles. But you begin to see those signs and those wonders that the apostles was doing begin to operate in their life. We who are, as I was reading this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 28, and like I say, these are names, these are titles, and we receive those names and those titles that God has given to them, and we begin to receive the gifts that they are to us. And so leaders lead with honor, by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them and not according to the aliases they receive from people. For instance, in our midst, we have here at Word Life Christian Center, we have an apostle in our midst who was sent by God. And so he's operating in that gift. We receive him as an apostle. There are certain people, they've given him aliases, and some of them still call him Reb. They just say Reb. But that's dishonor in terms of the kingdom of God and the way we receive him. We receive him as an apostle sent by God. And so as we receive him, that same anointing that's on his life, that same graces that's on his life, it can be imparted to us if we're listening, if we're hearing exactly what you say. That's why Jehoshaphat made sure that the people understood that if you believe in God, you have faith in God. But then when he sent a prophet, when he sent a man, when that apostle stands up and speak, we have to understand that he's found out what heaven wants here on earth, and he's trying to bring heaven to earth. And so whatever comes out of his mouth, we should be receiving that. And if we follow those instructions and those words that he's given to us, then our life will prosper in the kingdom the way God set up. He's come here, he's sent by God. And since he's sent by God, then those words is like God himself. Like God told Moses when he was going to, he said, you're going to be as God to Pharaoh. And so the apostle is as God to us. Because why? He's speaking for God to us. And so if you got a situation in your life and you've been seeking God and you've been praying to God, when you come in, your answer, your solution to your situation, your problem is going to be in that apostle's mouth. And when you do those things, what did James say? James said, we should not be just hearers of the word, but we should also be doers. And so if we're going to do what God tells us to do, then when we hear those words, and then we should begin to do them. And then when we do them, then guess what? The kingdom of heaven has come near unto you. Because why? You're going to see those supernatural signs. You're going to see those wonders. You're going to see those miracles begin to operate in your life. Like I say, we serve a God who created everything, heavens and earth. And so, he's just not anything, just not anybody. He created everything. And that's who we are. So then if we can't get just a simple illness healed from a God who created everything, then something is wrong. We're not operating the way God told us to operate. And so we need to find out what it is that we're doing wrong, why we're not getting this. And so right now, as you learn and you listen, you're going to find out some answers that you've been seeking. You're here, you're seeking, you come to this class. So, you know it's going to be a school. You know it's going to be information put out. And so you say, apparently you're thirsting and hungering after things of God. And what did he say? He said, blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after this righteousness. He said, you shall be filled. So he gonna fill you up. And so now, and after he fill you up, then you're going to be able to go out and do it. He said, they treat them. I receive people not as the aliases that receive from people. We treat them as free sons and daughters and not as slaves. We treat them as righteous and not as sinners. Everybody who accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can say they are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You didn't have to do it. He've already did it for you. He provided it for you. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, he said, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made. I am made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, no matter what I do, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he did for me. We treat him as wealthy and not as poor. Second Corinthians 8:9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. That's provisions for anything that you need. That's already provided for us. And so as we learn about these things that has been provided for us through Christ Jesus, we take on these attributes. And as we take on these attributes, and then they begin to manifest in our lives. But again, we have to be trained, we have to be taught, we have to know these things. Leaders also acknowledge their interdependence on diverse anointings God has distributed among his leadership and their design for functioning as a team that creates a funnel from heaven to earth. And so, like, again, the apostles should be up top. That's where God set it up, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it's like a funnel from heaven. And as that funnel flows down, then, you know, when they poured oil on Aaron's head, it flowed from the head down to the through the garment, through his robe, down to all the way down to the bottom. So that's where God said, I set up my apostolic government. I set up this government. And so as we set up the government, this government, we're going to find out that the apostles and the prophets are finding out what heaven wants and bringing that to earth. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you use us to speak to your people. And they've not just heard, but they're going to become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.